Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Carrie Aller and Friends Coffee Chat. Today, I have with me my sweet friend, Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Okay. So, Charlie, we're at a coffee shop, one of our favorites in Yukon, Oklahoma. It's Vaca Coffee. Amazing.
Taking a sip right now.
Yeah. So, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a iced Americano with one pump of white mocha and a splash of heavy whipping cream.
Love it. Love
you know
it.
You have a coffee problem when your kids can repeat the drink in the drive-thru.
Hey, it's really bad, though, when you drive up to the window because they already know what you want.
That, too.
Yeah.
Equally as bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, Charlie, I want to talk a little bit about stay-at-home moms and, like, maybe the struggle that goes with that. Any advice that we can give people that are listening right now? So, what would you say? Because you're... Right now, you're a stay-at-home mom. You're raising your kiddos. She has two beautiful kids. And so just talk a little bit about maybe some struggles you've had.
You know, I think in this day and age, with just this struggle for women to feel like they need to be independent and they need to be the breadwinners, which I think is awesome and wonderful, I feel like sometimes... women think it's a sign of weakness or that they're not providing for their family or not doing what they feel like they should be doing when I think, in all honesty, I think it's the best thing that you could be doing is being at home with your children, teaching them about the Lord, investing in them. Like, I feel like that's one of the most important things that you can be doing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like women specifically aren't being told that, aren't diving into the Word and seeing that and hearing the Lord's truth. And I think if you don't surround yourself with strong believers who can speak that into you, because let's be real, like, days are hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. I was just telling you, like, I feel like my challenging time of day is 2 to 5, and I think having friends who you can reach out to and tell them in that moment that you just need prayer or ask them to come over just to be with you and lift you up. But I just think it's important to just surround yourself with good friends, strong believers who can just speak truth into you. And I think it's important to, not just for stay-at-home moms, but just women in general, to just make sure that you have that quiet time with the Lord. Whatever that, I think it looks different for everybody.
Right.
But getting in the Word and just letting the Lord fill you up, I think is also just a game changer.
Absolutely.
Whether it's 2 minutes or 15 minutes, I think it's hard too with little ones and just how demanding they are. I think sometimes people or women in general feel like, well, I don't have enough time, so it's not worth maybe sitting down. And I think you just have to take advantage of those little moments and those moments throughout the day, you know, like in the midst of doing the dishes
right.
or vacuuming and just like trying to speak to the Lord. But I think, just really pressing in is the most important thing that you can do.
Yeah, I
really
love that.
In anything you're doing, not just being a stay-at-home mom.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true. So why do you think women, like, we put pressure on ourselves to, and we think we're not good enough? You know what I mean? Like, why do you think that is?
I think, honestly, social media really plays into that.
Yeah.
That's honestly why it's probably been 4.5 years now that I've been social media free.
Wow.
I think the comparison game steals a lot of people's joy.
Yes, it does.
Comparing yourself to what other people are doing. So I don't know. I think that that's a real, real struggle, not just with women, but just people in general.
Yeah.
So, and I think that you have to know that and recognize that, and you have to set healthy boundaries. I'm not saying social media is bad. I think it's a great avenue for different things, but you really have to be careful and watch that line right there and be cognizant of what you're spending your time doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us do, like, fall for that comparison trap.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, like, social media, everyone's putting their highlight reels on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you're comparing your real life to their highlight reel, and that's not
exactly
reality, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, I don't think you're designed. I think then people get on there, too, maybe saying stuff that's extreme or intense, you know, and then not getting the response they want.
Right.
Or you, somebody is carrying the weight of all, like, something so heavy, and I don't think you're meant to carry everyone else's stuff that's going on.
Right.
Not in that magnitude.
Yeah.
So I just think it can be really, really dangerous if not used correctly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not meant to compare ourselves.
No. No. And we can't. Like, my journey is not going to look like yours. Yours is not going to look like hers. Like, you know, it's all different. And God makes us all unique. So we've got to stop playing that comparison game.
And I wish I could remember. It was a devotional that I was doing. And it was a book. I don't know. Anyways, it talked about, I mean, when you start doing that comparison game and looking at, let's just do, like, their style or what they're doing, and then start emulating that.
Right.
You're then taking away whatever the Lord has placed for you to shine.
Absolutely.
Instead of embracing what you are and how he's made you. So I don't know. It's just really, really, really dangerous.
Yeah. Comparing. You know what I call that? I call it the Cinderella shoe syndrome because, you know,
that's
Cinderella,
good.
Like, nobody could fit in her slipper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they looked for literally every woman that was in, you know, that area, and nobody fit because it was designed just for her. And just, like, that's how God made us. Like, we all have a unique set of giftings, different talents, different things to do for the Lord. And so...
I totally agree.
Yeah, we can't try to put on someone else's anointing because it doesn't work.
Yes.
You know?
Very well said.
Yeah. What would you say is, like, the highlight for you as a stay-at-home mom? Like, what do you love about it?
Oh, man. There's so many things I love. I love that just in the morning I can just be available to cook them breakfast and get ready with them with no agenda. I love right now, Effie's 4. She's of preschool age, that I get to sit at home and do. She likes to call it, we call it homeschool. And just get to take my time and just do that with her and practice memory verses and just enjoy, honestly, just being with her and being present.
Yeah. And, you know, we're at this coffee shop right now, and she's so cute. She's sitting there. She has these headphones on. She's watching her little show on her iPad, and she's being such a good girl.
Yeah, she is.
She's Charlie's mini-me. So, Charlie, like, what would you say to the one that maybe feels insignificant because she is at home and she's not feeling fulfilled or feeling like she's lacking or feeling like she's not enough? Like, what would you say to that woman right now?
I would say to just press in, because we all have a purpose, and that although you're not having somebody telling you every day that you're doing a great job, there's no more important job than what you're doing right now, feeding into your child and developing their heart for the Lord, and to just keep on pressing in, that even if nobody else sees you, the Lord sees you, and ultimately that's the person who matters the most.
Absolutely. Because our family is our first ministry.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And if that's not in order, then we're not really, like, we're not doing what we should be doing. And then we can't really go out and tell someone else how to do that if we're not living it, you know?
Right. And I would just encourage them to, I know for somebody who maybe hasn't been in communication with the Lord or doesn't have a deep relationship, it can be uncomfortable or awkward, but we're meant to be in conversation just like you and I are, Carrie, and to just start pressing in and just asking him what your purpose looks like, just daily. I mean, just break it down into daily, like, Lord, what do you have for me today?
Yeah.
What is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And to just help him, ask him to help you to see it clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love Charlie's heart, because she will go out literally to anybody and tell them about the Lord. You do. You go to the gym. Like, you see, your ministry is literally everywhere you go. And that's what I love about you, and I admire that about you.
Well, you know, it was cool, because I feel like, because I've had all of those struggles, and there's been different seasons where it's been very hard and very, very challenging. And looking back, it was definitely, like, some depression and stuff that I fought with.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was in communication daily, seeking the Lord. And I remember specifically, I was watching a movie, as odd as it sounds, And it was just, it was a hard, dark movie, and it just, I mean, it really, really took you into what's going on in this world right now, which I think a lot of people are just not familiar with or kind of turn a blind eye towards. And in that moment, I just felt really, really heavy, and I had to turn off the movie, and I had to go outside, and I just felt overwhelmed. And I feel like the Lord told me in that moment that, Charlie, this is your purpose right now, just to turn people to Jesus, to just show them the light that it doesn't have to be this dark.
Yeah.
So in those sweet little moments, like when you think the Lord isn't present, like he's there and he's trying to whisper and talk to you.
We got some good music going.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, what would you say to the person right now that maybe is trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing?
I think just like I said earlier, I think the first start would be to just make it a priority to get alone with the Lord.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, in the afternoon, whatever that time looks like.
Yeah.
And just seeking after him and just asking him daily. I think being intentional with your prayers and praying big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think slowly but surely he will reveal your purpose.
Yeah.
And to not be discouraged. But I believe as long as you're on this earth, you have a purpose.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And I think people miss the mark a lot. They think that they can just go to church on a Sunday and that's enough, but it's really not enough.
No. And I mean, I'm sure we've all walked away where you just feel like the message just spoke to you and you felt what, I mean, you can call the Holy Spirit. And I feel like a lot of people don't know that it can go so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And those feelings can be all day, every day.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's just having a relationship with him.
Yeah. And you know, it's not like, I think people think that they have to sit down and read the Bible for like hours on end,
no.
And that's not it. Like, it's just a continuous conversation with the Lord and being intentional, like you said, like taking those moments and maybe reading a couple of verses and meditating on that and soaking it in. And
it looks different for everybody.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That might be turning on the music and just praising him for a few songs.
Absolutely.
While you're doing it. So I think, finding what works.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's in the car and you're listening to podcasts, talking to a friend, you know, who can speak truth and finding a mentor. It just looks different for everybody.
Yeah. It's so true. Like, I have so many conversations with God in the car.
Yeah.
And I have prayed and cried and screamed and all kinds of things
as
in the car.
As a mom, the car is a great time.
Absolutely.
Because the kids, they're confined.
Yeah.
They can't go anywhere.
That's right.
I mean, generally mine aren't screaming. But we use that time. I started last year with my little boy, Asher. We use that time. It's 6 minutes to his school, and we start our morning off after we get in the car praying.
Yeah.
I pray over his school and just, you know, anything else going on. And it's, I mean, just don't discount those moments.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of going back to the, don't take like this time being a stay-at-home mom for granted. Don't like look at it like something insignificant, because it's so significant.
Yeah.
And you're molding your children. You know, this is a teachable time. It's a time to really embrace. Like, I look at your kids, you know, my kids are now in middle school, and that time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah. I've talked to other women, and I think I'm not the only one who's felt this way, but I think sometimes it's so overwhelming and you get so caught up in the feelings of just monotony and like you're not doing anything. You're just kind of going in slow motion, and life is just too short. And I just, you don't want to look back and think like, man, I really missed out because I was too busy trying to find my purpose and what was not my purpose.
Yeah.
Finding joy in things that are not of this world.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so good.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, do you have any funny stories as a mom, like with your kids?
Oh, gosh.
Like a funny story?
Funny story. I'll have to think. I can't think off the top of my head. I'm sure that I do.
Okay. When you're thinking, I'm going to tell you what happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, it was a normal morning. I woke up.
It
was a normal morning. Woke up and, you know, trying to like rub my eyes, like wake up, go let my dogs out.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
as I open the door, my dog Oreo, which Oreo always gets into some kind of trouble. Mm-hmm. She's like that dog Marley and me. Like, mm-hmm. she's crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she puts her nose up to this frog that's right outside my door. Well, the frog jumped in my house. Okay, jumped at me. So yes. I screamed. Yes. And then both kids were like ran out of bed. Like, what in the world's going on? Mind you, this is all happening at 5:30 in the morning. And so...
Oh, jeez.
So then... the frog, like, jumps under my couch, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, underneath my couch, you know how there's fabric?
Yes.
Well, a part of it, a little part of it was ripped, so the frog jumps inside the fabric. So
oh.
I have to, yeah, seriously. I had to flip over that couch. I had Abram help me. Like, we turned the couch over. I had to cut that fabric.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to try to get the frog. When I bent down to get the frog, it then jumped down the hallway. Like, it jumped past me. I don't know how it did. Then it jumped in the bathroom. Then I shut the door in the bathroom to try to get the frog. So then I try to get it. And then the frog went underneath the door. Then it went back down the hallway. And then it went under one of my other couches.
Oh
and so
my.
Then Abram oh and I had to flip that one over. And I finally got a Tupperware and I finally got it. But during this whole thing, Abram then let my dogs back in. So then Oreo's trying to get the frog. It was just like, it was crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. But we finally got the frog and put it outside.
That's a good one. I don't know if I don't know if I can top
oh,
that one.
Oh, come on. You got some stories.
I'm just thinking of, it was probably like 2 years ago. I'm still a big fan and advocate of naps. So I think my kids might be 10 and I still might be forcing them to go nap. But oftentimes when it's nap time, I would say a few times a week, I'm like, and I'm going to escort myself to the bedroom, too. And
there you
catch
go.
Catch some Z's.
Yeah.
So anyways, I had laid down both kids, and they have an adjoining Jack and Jill bathroom. So I lay them down. I think I'm good. Like, everything's great. they're not making a peep. And I go in there, and honestly, I really don't know how long. Maybe 30 minutes. Let's say 30 minutes. Might have been 45. I'm not really sure. I'm like, that was a great little nap. I'm like... awesome. The kids are still asleep and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, wait, what's that? So I go into my little girl's room and she is not in her bed.
Uh-oh.
And I walk to the left where the bathroom is at and Asher is in the bathroom with her trying to wipe her bottom. Super great. You can imagine what that picture looks like. I mean, toilet paper literally everywhere. I'm sure that there was poop on one or both of them, but I think I've tried to forget all about that. But they knew that I was napping. How kind of them.
Oh,
and
my
didn't
want
to wake me up.
That is hilarious.
So Asher tried to help Effie. Mind you, I don't think she was even of the potty trained age. So... gotta appreciate them for allowing mommy to have a little
that's hilarious.
Time.
Oh my goodness.
So that's one that comes.
I love it. So, okay, any potty training stories that are hilarious?
Oh gosh. Nothing that was hilarious. I mean, it was pretty funny. We found success with my little one, my little boy, who's now 6. We had 2 days where we let him just walk around butt naked.
Yeah.
And it took a few times where he would just...
there
go
you
to go. The bathroom right there.
Hey.
But it worked.
Hey.
I mean, we lived in the country at the time, too.
Yeah.
And my husband thought it was a great idea to let him just go to the bathroom when we were outside. So there was definitely a few times when we would be at the grocery store and I would look over and we're in the parking lot and his pants are down and he's just peeing right in the parking lot. I'm like, buddy, we're not in the country. We're in a parking
lot. Oh, my gosh.
Lot.
That's hilarious. I love it. When Hallie got, when she was done potty training, I actually was like, okay, we are going to have a party. So we pulled her, like, pull-ups out, and we all put it on our heads. And we were diaper heads, I guess,
yes.
is what we called it. And then we just ran around the house crazy. That's
love
what we
it.
Did. Yeah.
Okay, this is pretty hilarious. I actually can't believe I'm going to tell you this. So at the time when we lived in the country and we're potty training,
yeah.
I would keep a little potty, one of those
yeah.
little plastic ones in the back of the car. So mm-hmm. that if we were at a park or something, I didn't know that that would come to help me in a situation where I needed to go to the bathroom. So one day we were at the park and there was not even a porta potty. So I went ahead and lifted up the latch in my Honda Pilot and I sat on that there I think it was a car's potty that would sing like when you lifted the lid. And I sat there and I filled up that potty, guys, and it overflowed right on out of that potty.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
You know, but that came in handy. Like,
hey,
I mean,
it's saying for you and everything.
Literally, I would have peed my pants.
That is
it would
so
have been
funny.
That, or it would have been me sitting in the wood chips.
Oh my gosh.
At the park, pulling down my drawers.
That is hilarious.
Maybe that would have been a better alternative. It'll happen.
I love it. You know, when Matt and I were engaged, since you shared a pee-pee story, I'll do the same.
I mean, I could keep on. They
seriously.
Coming back. I don't.
Yeah, so many stories. But yeah, when Matt and I were engaged, Matt used to go behind people that he didn't know, and he would go, shoosh, like really loud, just to be silly. Okay, we're immature. You know, this is when we first like got married. We go to Hobby Lobby, me and my friend, we're planning for the wedding. And I went behind this person and I went, shoosh, like really loud and walked off. But we were laughing so hard that I peed my pants. And
yep, that'll happen.
I was wearing sweatpants. So it just soaked it all in.
Yep.
Just soaked it in.
Yep.
So
that's a good look.
Yeah. So I peed my pants in the crafting aisle and I was like, oh my gosh, Amanda, we have to get out of here. Like, how am I going to do this? Because I mean, you could tell I peed my pants. She was like, we're going to run out. So we're laughing. She's running behind me. We ran out of Hobby Lobby. Then I told Matt what happened. And guess what? He had a song. He goes, because he's so good. He just thinks of something on the fly like that. But he goes, oh, I have a song for that. Oh, nothing makes me sadder than when Carrie lost her bladder at Hobby Lobby. So, anyway, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So, basically, the moral of the story is you got to have fun. Like,
if you
have a singing potty and you got to go, you just got to go. Like,
so true.
Effie's, like, getting into this show. See, mom life is you just got to go with the flow, even if that means you have to use a singing potty.
True that.
Yeah. Okay, I want to close out with this. I know we've been silly, but why is it important to pour into your spouse?
Oh, my. We could be here for a while.
I know.
I feel like there's so much pressure on them to provide and to be available to their wife and their children. And I think it's just really important to let them know that they're doing a great job and that you value what they do and that they're enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes women don't realize that they need to hear it just as much, you know, that they're doing a good job and that it is enough.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I could go on and on about this.
I know. It's a hard thing. But, like, I tell women all the time that, you know, a lot of women tend to accidentally, without meaning to, really put their kids above their husbands. But that's not how it should go. You got to pour into your husband, because if your marriage is healthy, then that flows into your kids.
I agree.
And so Matt and I, we always, you know, the five love languages, I love that book.
Yes,
highly recommend it if you haven't read it. But we always ask each other, you know, are you feeling, or, you know, is your love tank full? You know, are you feeling loved? Because it's so easy to just get caught up in the day-to-day that we forget about the little things and we forget about really our spouse's feelings.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think it's really important. I think early on we didn't make it enough of a point because we're like, well, we don't have kids and we just got married. But I think it's really important to carve out time to do date nights and to be really intentional with that time. Because you get caught up in life and careers and family. And I think it's important to just get back to the heart of you guys and what brought you together and to just create those memories and continue to build on them.
Absolutely. That's something that I need to do better at is date night with my husband.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to, I mean, if financially that's just not something, you know, that's just feasible to, I have a few girlfriends that they do date nights at home, you know, like after the kids even go to bed, they make a cheese plate and a bottle of wine. So, and just to get creative with it too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Matt and I have done that a few times. So we do Scrabble and then, because I love Scrabble.
There you go.
And, then we just watch a movie or do something. But,
yeah
you get creative, you know. You don't always have to do something. I mean, even just, like, going somewhere together and dreaming together, you know, just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So being intentional with that.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, you've been such a joy, and it's been so fun, and I especially love your singing toilet story.
Yes.
That made my day.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome for that.
I love it. I love it. Charlie, like, how could, if someone wanted to just maybe email you or talk to you or whatever, how could they get a hold of you?
Yes. Well, as I said earlier, I don't have social media, but feel free to email me if you had anything that you wanted to talk about or just felt pressed on your heart. You could reach me at Charlie, CHARLIL 2244 @gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, Charlie, you're such a joy. I love you. Effie is amazing. She's just sitting there with her headphones.
Yeah,
she's doing so good.
See this. It's pretty hilarious.
This little girl right here, you guys, she's just been such a big girl today.
She has.
She's doing so good. So thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Bye.